Big week of drafts. I don't know if I remember a time that the NBA and the NHL draft were basically not totally competing with each other, but close like this. The NBA draft earlier in the week, the NHL draft in the latter half of the week. The first pick for the Minnesota Wild, they move up to number 12 and get a guy named Ziv Bulyum, who is a left-handed D out of Denver. He is really a talent. If you watch any of his clips, boy, he can handle the puck, he can shoot, and the Wild are getting a great grades on the draft. Joe Smith of The Athletic covers the Minnesota Wild, joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Joe, good morning to you. Ziv Bulyum is a name that everyone is going crazy over. The idea that the Wild could have gotten him at 12, getting from your publication, giving them great grades. What can people be excited about, and why should they be excited about this draft pick, this kid out of Denver this morning? Good morning.
Good morning to you guys, too. And I think a lot of people, I'm probably including the Wild, saw TV in the top 10 or even higher than that. I just watched him at the Frozen Four help lead Denver to a national championship. And he's not the biggest defense in the world, but he has got pretty much everything else. He's just a smart player, really talented skater, the puck skills, really intensity to his game. Like, there's not a lot to not like about this kid. And the fact that he's a guy that you can envision on a Wild blue line for the next decade with, like, a Brock Faber on the right side, it's pretty intriguing. And, you know, at number 13, there was like a thought that like the top 12, and then there was a little bit of a drop off or as far as talent level in the pool, and they got felt fortunate that he fell to them. And I think the fans in Minnesota are really going to love this kid. The guy who, with the Shattucks too, he already loves Minnesota, so already kind of fits in that way.
Joe, quick question for you. Being a Tampa guy, Burns Steakhouse, Bernini's, or Columbia Restaurant, which one do you pick of the three if you're going out to dinner?
Well, it depends on what your experience and your wallet is like.
Pete's paying for this argument's sake.
Burns is more for the experience and just like kind of the ambiance and all that. Like, I've had better steaks in Tampa Bay, but I think it's just the overall the feel and like the dessert room and the wine tour, like all that. My favorite restaurants in Tampa Bay include Bella's Italian restaurant is terrific in South Tampa. And there's another steakhouse in St. Petersburg that's more of my favorite. But yeah, if you have experience to go to Burns, it's a ritual, and as long as somebody else is paying, for sure.
Dave, they got 100,000 bottles of wine, and they've got a dessert room upstairs that you walk into this room and select your dessert. It's unbelievable. So I just had to make sure Joe and I were on the same page. Joe, my real question is, what about the shakeup within the coaches, Darby Hendrickson? Was that something that everybody was expecting, or how did that play out?
Yeah, well, I think you got a sense, you know, like obviously, you know, John Hines took over in late November, and he inherited a staff other than Bob Woods left by Dean Evason. And I think there was a chance that you'd have saw a little bit of changes just to get maybe somebody that John Hines is like really familiar with on his staff, a guy with experience. And I think, you know, Darby's been in Minnesota for a long time, a local legend. And I think the fact that they're moving on, or both sides are moving on, wasn't a reflection of anything he did particularly wrong. Or I mean, the guy has really enjoyed being coached by him. He looked like he could still play. He looked like a player himself. He kind of connected with the guys, but I think it was a chance for both to move on, and for John to bring in somebody. They should be announcing another assistant coach probably this week to fill that spot on the staff. And Darby landed it on his feet, which we're not surprised about there, with a guy he knows well in Nashville and Bruno. So, you know, I think, in essence, when you have a coach take over midseason, there's always a chance of a little bit of staff tweaks, and that's kind of what the one is right now.
And to be fair to Darby, he lasted a lot of coaching changes. I mean, it's not normal in the NHL to get through as many coaches and GMs as he did.
That reflects on how good a coach he is, a good person he is. And, you know, you're right. How many coaches survive one or two coaching changes, much less a handful? And everybody he coached with, except for like Jacques, and he played for him. So pretty fitting part of this organization for a long time.
Joe Smith joining us from The Athletic and the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Not a lot that the Wild can do this summer just because of financial lockups and things like that, but it certainly seems like if there's a trade chip, it's a possibility in Philip Gustafson. Where do you think – how possible is it that he gets dealt this offseason simply because they're going to have, if he stays, three goaltenders in the that are NHL-quality goaltenders. Do you think he gets dealt, and if so, what will we see and when?
I think there's less of a chance than maybe I thought a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the market, too. There's more, you know, supply than demand. You saw the trades that are out, they've already been out there with Ullmark and Markstrom and, you know, all the other goalies that kind of shuffled through. And the returns on that, I think the Wild, you know, would be, you know, open in that sense that they found a great deal in this spot for him. But they're also very open to having him coming back, knowing as well as Wallstedt played and is a top prospect, you have him, a rookie, and Marc-Andre Fleury, who'll be a 40-year-old goaltender, and neither of them are probably equipped at this point to play, you know, 40 to 50 games. Mm-hmm. In net. So it makes sense that I think they'll probably end up having a rotation where they'll have all three of them play at some point at the start of the year if Philip Gustafson does remain with the Wild organization, and that's not a bad problem to have. You can always revisit these kind of trades, you know, during the season before the deadline or into next season. So, but yeah, I think he was one of the few trade chips that they think that they had thought of going into the summer, but you see how the kind of dominoes have fallen with the goalie situation. And it could happen, but I don't think it's as possible as we thought it might be a month or two ago.
Joe, is Celebrini going to be an instant, immediate impact at his position as center?
I think so. And I know there's been talk whether he wants to go back to school or not. I watched that BU team in the Frozen Four and saw how it's very, very hard as a 17-year-old to come in and dominate college hockey like that. And he did win the Hopi Baker. So if he does come to San Jose and play right away, there's talk of people saying he's maybe a more complete center than Connor Bedard. And Bedard, I think, has some of the high-end skill. The shot is out of this world and other things. But Celebrini is no slouch. I think he'll be a terrific player for them for a long time, or as long as he's under contract there. So I'm excited to see him play an NHL level if it is indeed starting this fall.
Joe, I want to finish with this one question just about the Stanley Cup Finals, because this is something that really I got to thinking about a lot this week. In that final game, in that final period, you see Connor McDavid. He's out there for probably, I mean, it has to have been 3 to 4 minutes, the final 3 to 4 minutes. And I thought to myself, this line is going to tire out, and when they need him in that final minute and a half push, they're not going to be ready. And in chatting with some friends of mine, I said, well, why wouldn't they take him off the ice, and why wouldn't they get them a break somewhere in the 5 minutes to 4 minutes or three to 2 minutes so that they can get him back out there? And my friend said to me, like, you're going to tell Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, he has to get off the ice. As a coach, is it like that in the NHL? Does a coach not tell a player you got to get off, or you know, you need to switch? Who has the power in that situation?
Well, I think the coaches, you know, do have the power to do that. I know, you know, some players can be stubborn, and like the best players, I think, you know, look at Ovechkin plays every power play for all 2 minutes. He didn't come off the ice. You know, there's certain guys that are different like that. And I just think in that situation, it's a game seven, a cup final. I think you put your best players out there and think that maybe at 75%, I think David's better than pretty much most every player in the league. So you don't want to go, you know, empty. You want to empty the tank no matter what, and this is your chance to win a Stanley Cup, and one goal can send you to overtime. So I don't disagree with it. And I know you knew they played him a lot in that third period.
Yeah.
And they had some TV timeouts. They took their timeout later in a couple minutes left to give him a breather. But, you know, you got to go with your big guys. Those are the ones that got you there. He won the Conn Smythe for a reason, even though they lost in the Cup final. So you put him out there and try to see if he can work some magic, get a puck on net, and he almost did
in
that last minute.
Joe Smith from The Athletic, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us. Have a great holiday week, and we'll chat again soon as we get closer to the season, okay?
Thanks so much, Joe.
Take care.
Thanks, Joe. Well, I agree. I understand what he's talking about. I had said this on Twitter this week that I thought that McDavid should have come off the ice, but maybe he's right. He made a good point. Joe Smith has convinced me that I was wrong. So fair enough. We'll take a quick break. Come back. You're listening to the Huddle on 830 WCCO. Big week of drafts. I don't know if I remember a time that the NBA and the NHL draft were basically not totally competing with each other, but close like this. Hmm. The NBA draft earlier in the week, the NHL draft in the latter half of the week. The first pick for the Minnesota Wild, they move up to number 12 and get a guy named Zeev Bouyam, who is a left-handed D out of Denver. He is really a talent. To watch any of his clips, boy, he can handle the puck, he can shoot, and the Wild are getting a great grades on the draft. Joe Smith of The Athletic covers the Minnesota Wild, joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Joe, good morning to you. Zeev Bouyam is a name that everyone is going crazy over. The idea that the Wild could have gotten him at 12, getting from your publication, giving them great grades. What can people be excited about, and why should they be excited about this draft pick, this kid out of Denver this morning? Good morning.
Good morning to you guys, too. And I think a lot of people, I'm probably including the Wild, saw TV in the top 10 or even higher than that. I just watched him at the Frozen Four help lead Denver to a national championship. And he's not the biggest defense in the world, but he has got pretty much everything else. He's just a smart player, really talented skater, the puck skills, really intensity to his game. Like, there's not a lot to not like about this kid. And the fact that he's a guy that you can envision on a Wild blue line for the next decade with like a Brock Faber on the right side, it's pretty intriguing. And, you know, at number 13, there was like a thought that like the top 12, and then there was a little bit of a drop off or as far as talent level in the pool. And they felt fortunate that he fell to them. And I think the fans in Minnesota are really going to love this kid. A guy who, with the Shattucks too, he already loves Minnesota. So already kind of fits in that way.
Joe, quick question for you. Being a Tampa guy, Burns Steakhouse, Bernini's, or Columbia Restaurant, which one do you pick of the three if you're going out to dinner?
Well, it depends on what your experience and your wallet is like.
Pete's paying for this argument's sake.
Burns is like more for the experience and just like kind of the ambiance and all that. Like, I've had better steaks in Tampa Bay, but I think it's just the overall the feel and like the dessert room and the wine tour, like all that. But my favorite restaurants in Tampa Bay include Bella's Italian restaurant is terrific in South Tampa. And there's another steakhouse in St. Petersburg that's more of my favorite. But yeah, if you have experience to go to Burns, it's a ritual, and as long as somebody else is paying, for sure.
Dave, they got 100,000 bottles of wine, and they've got a dessert room upstairs that you walk into this room and select your dessert. It's unbelievable. So I just had to make sure Joe and I were on the same page. Joe, my real question is, what about the shakeup within the coaches? Darby Hendrickson, was that something that everybody was expecting, or how did that play out?
Yeah, well, I think you got a sense, you know, like obviously, you know, John Hines took over in late November, and he inherited a staff other than Bob Woods left by Dean Evason. And I think there was a chance that you'd have saw a little bit of changes just to get maybe somebody that John Hines is like really familiar with on his staff, a guy with experience. And I think, you know, Darby's been in Minnesota for a long time, a local legend. And I think the fact that they're moving on, or both sides are moving on, wasn't a reflection of anything he did particularly wrong. Or I mean, the guy has really enjoyed being coached by him. He looked like he could still play. He looked like a player himself. He kind of connected with the guys, but I think it was a chance for both to move on and for John to bring in somebody that should be announcing another assistant coach probably this week to fill that spot on the staff. And Darby landed it on his feet, which we're not surprised about there, with a guy he knows well in Nashville and Bruno. So, you know, I think, in essence, when you have a coach take over midseason, there's always a chance of a little bit of staff tweaks, and that's kind of what the one is right now.
And to be fair to Darby, he lasted a lot of coaching changes. I mean, it's not normal in the NHL to get through as many coaches and GMs as he did.
That's reflects on how good a coach he is, a good person he is. And, you know, you're right. Not many coaches survive one or two coaching changes, much less a handful. And everybody I think he coached with, except for like Jacques, and he played for him. So pretty fitting part of this organization for a long time.
Joe Smith joining us from The Athletic and the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Not a lot that the Wild can do this summer just because of financial lockups and things like that, but it certainly seems like if there's a trade chip, it's a possibility in Philip Gustafson. Where do you think – how possible is it that he gets dealt this offseason simply because they're going to have, if he stays, three goaltenders in the that are NHL-quality goaltenders. Do you think he gets dealt? And if so, what will we see and when?
I think there's less of a chance than maybe I thought a few months ago. And I think it's the market, too. There's more, you know, supply than demand. You saw the trades that are out, they've already been out there with Ullmark and Markstrom and, you know, all the other goalies that kind of shuffled through. And the returns on that, I think the Wild, you know, would be, you know, open in that sense that they found a great deal in this spot for him. But they're also very open to having him coming back, knowing as well as Wallstedt played and is a top prospect. You have him, a rookie, and Marc-Andre Fleury, who'll be a 40-year-old goaltender, and neither of them are probably equipped at this point to play, you know, 40 to 50 games. Mm-hmm. In net. So it makes sense that I think they'll probably end up having a rotation where they'll have all three of them play at some point at the start of the year if Philip Gustafson does remain with the Wild organization. And that's not a bad problem to have. You can always revisit these kind of trades, you know, during the season before the deadline or into next season. So, but yeah, I think he was one of the few trade chips that they think that they had thought of going into the summer. But you see how the kind of dominoes have fallen with the goalie situation. And it could happen, but I don't think it's as possible as we thought it might be a month or two ago.
Joe, is Celebrini going to be an instant, immediate impact at his position as center?
I think so. And I know there's been talk whether he wants to go back to school or not. I watched that BU team in the Frozen Four and saw how it's very, very hard as a 17-year-old to come in and dominate college hockey like that. And he did win the Hopi Baker. So if he does come to San Jose and play right away, there's talk of people saying he's maybe a more complete center than Connor Bedard. And Bedard, I think, has some of the high-end skill. The shot is out of this world and other things. But Celebrini is no slouch. I think he'll be a terrific player for them for a long time, or as long as he's under contract there. So I'm excited to see him play an NHL level if it is indeed starting this fall.
Joe, I want to finish with this one question just about the Stanley Cup Finals, because this is something that really I got to thinking about a lot this week. In that final game, in that final period, you see Connor McDavid. He's out there for probably, I mean, it has to have been 3 to 4 minutes, the final 3 to 4 minutes. And I thought to myself, this line is going to tire out, and when they need him in that final minute and a half push, they're not going to be ready. And in chatting with some friends of mine, I said, well, why wouldn't they take him off the ice, and why wouldn't they get them a break somewhere in the 5 minutes to 4 minutes or three to 2 minutes so that they can get him back out there? And my friend said to me, like, you're going to tell Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, he has to get off the ice. As a coach, is it like that in the NHL? Does a coach not tell a player you got to get off, or you know, you need to switch? Who has the power in that situation?
Well, I think the coaches, you know, do have the power to do that. I know, you know, some players can be stubborn, and like the best players, I think, you know, look at Ovechkin plays every power play for all 2 minutes. He didn't come off the ice. You know, there's certain guys that are different like that. And I just think in that situation, it's a game seven, a cup final. I think you put your best players out there and think that maybe at 75%, I think David's better than pretty much most every player in the league. So you don't want to go, you know, you want to empty the tank no matter what, and this is your chance to win a Stanley Cup, and one goal can send you to overtime. So I don't disagree with it. And I know you knew they played him a lot in that third period.
Yeah.
And they had some TV timeouts. They took their timeout later and a couple minutes left to give him a breather. But, you know, you got to go with your big guys those are the ones that got you there. He won the Conn Smythe for a reason. You know, they lost in the Cup final. So you put him out there and try to see if he can work some magic, get a puck on net, and he almost did.
Yeah.
In the last minute.
Joe Smith from The Athletic, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us. Have a great holiday week, and we'll chat again soon as we get closer to the season, okay?
Thanks so much, Joe.
Take care.
Thanks, Joe. Well, I agree. I understand what he's talking about. I had said this on Twitter this week that I thought that McDavid should have come off the ice, but maybe he's right. He made a good point. Joe Smith has convinced me that I was wrong, so fair enough. We'll take a quick break, come back. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.